6:48, I'm Michael Cohen. This is 1320 WILS. Well, irritable bowel syndrome, it impacts 20% of North Americans, and it is the leading cause of work and school absenteeism, second only to the common cold. Yet, we hear almost nothing about it, which is, well, no surprise at all. But registered dietitian and nutrition therapist Patsy Katsas is now publishing her second edition of her 2008 bestseller, IBS, Free at Last. And she has some advice to offer to those who are suffering. Patsy, thank you very much for joining us on WILS this evening.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me on the show.
Okay, that is a startling percentage, 20%. We're talking about tens of millions of Americans who are suffering. I'm guessing many may not even know that it's IBS they have. So tell me, what exactly is irritable bowel syndrome, and how do you know if you've got it?
Well, irritable bowel syndrome is a problem that happens. A person with IBS has guts that don't function properly, even though their gastrointestinal tract appears medically normal. Symptoms can include diarrhea or constipation, gas, bloating, and abdominal pain or discomfort. I think one reason the statistics about how many people have IBS are so surprising is that these aren't really good topics for chit-chat around the lunch table at work.
So you're saying, though, essentially it's physically and medically they appear to be totally healthy, but there's essentially a malfunction there. Is it clear what the cause is? Is it definitely a food issue, or is it emotions and stress?
It's still a mystery why the IBS gut is different. Certainly stress does play some role, but there probably are a number of different physiological problems that we just don't fully understand yet. There's a lot of ongoing research about whether people with IBS have different gut bacteria than the rest of us, whether their nerves and muscles function in an uncoordinated way, whether they may experience sensations in the abdominal cavity as painful when other people might not, or whether perhaps there are some abnormalities in the immune system that might cause symptoms.
But IBS, though, is a separate thing from something like Crohn's or colitis, which can be deadly diseases.
That's right.
So,
we don't think that food causes IBS, but it definitely can affect symptoms.
I see. Basically, you live, but your life becomes an unpleasant experience. I'm talking to Patsy Katsas. You can find her, the second edition of her 2008 bestseller book, IBS Free at Last. Now, Patsy, you talk about the process of identifying what may be trigger foods for IBS symptoms. Can you briefly give me a sense of how that works?
That's right. A lot of people find that foods do impact their IBS, but there's no real one right answer for what people should or should not eat for IBS. I encourage an experimental approach to finding the right diet, and I work with my clients using an elimination diet to try to figure out if there are foods that are affecting their symptoms.
I see. Now, you're saying that foods, some may be a factor, but ultimately food may not actually be the solution. Like that, even if you change your diet, you may not be able to solve this problem.
Well, even though the food is not the underlying cause of IBS, the way you eat can help you manage symptoms.
I see. Give me just an explanation of what do you mean by that, the way you eat, the times you eat, how often you eat?
Well, when I'm working with somebody with irritable bowel syndrome, the first thing I would make sure they've already done is to take some common measures that we think can help. For example, eating small, frequent meals. That would be one of the best things. Mm-hmm. It's a good idea to at least try a high-fiber diet at first to see if that can help. But if a high-fiber diet doesn't help, then you might be a candidate for a new kind of elimination diet called FODMAP, a low FODMAP diet.
Okay, a low what is that?
FODMAP diet. So FODMAPs are a group of sugars and fibers in the diet that can trigger IBS symptoms for some people. And basically what they are poorly absorbed sugars and fibers. They are rapidly fermented by the gut bacteria, and they can disrupt the fluid balance in your gut and cause either diarrhea or constipation.
You're talking about like sweet foods, essentially, like white bread, those kinds of things?
Actually, some of the most common high FODMAP foods in the diets of my patients include milk and yogurt. Certain fruits, like apples and pears, have a lot of fructose in them, and that can be poorly tolerated sugar.
So you're talking about ultimately, if you're having IBS issues, that you're looking at potentially restricting your diet from these kinds of things, and maybe even other things.
Yeah, I encourage a short trial, maybe 2 or 3 weeks, of eliminating all of these high FODMAP foods. And if the client or the patient feels a lot better, then next it's important to try to return these different foods to the diet one group at a time so that you can try to figure out which ones are the worst offenders.
It sounds a little maddening because you have to then focus so much on food and it becomes a hyper-focused issue. Now, does IBS, is there a solution to it? Do you find that once the right balance of eating and the right foods are being eaten, that the symptoms can essentially go away?
Yes. I definitely find that up to 3/4 of the patients that use this approach do get significant relief of their symptoms.
Now, in terms of your background in nutritional therapy, is IBS the primary kind of issue that patients are dealing with?
Well, the focus of my own practice is on gastrointestinal diseases and disorders. Most of them do tend to be IBS patients because I have a pretty good track record of helping those clients, but I also do treat people with Crohn's disease, ulcerative colitis, GERD, and other GI problems.
I see. Do they all share a commonality when it comes to these foods? Are you better off not eating milks, yogurts, potentially some of these fruits if you have any of these gastrointestinal issues?
It's worth a try, you know, especially if you have, for example, Crohn's and colitis and your disease is in remission, but you're still experiencing symptoms. It's certainly worth a try to reduce these fermentable carbohydrates in the diet.
Now, since you're focused on the nutritional part, but you've had experience with all these kinds of patients, what are your thoughts on just how much of these problems are not really diet-related? They're more mental, emotional issues that are being expressed in the gut?
Well, it's a real chicken and egg situation. I think we've probably all had the experience of, you know, anxiety provoking some uncomfortable sensations in our guts and maybe causing a little bout of diarrhea, for example. But I don't think we can attribute most IBS symptoms to psychological causes. If anything, it may be the other way around. I think that people who have unpredictable diarrhea, urgent diarrhea, find that to be very anxiety provoking. So it may be more more of an impact in that direction.
And most of your patients, have they been living with these conditions for many years, and are you sometimes the first person they've had an honest conversation about it with?
Yes. In fact, when I first began working with IBS patients, they usually weren't even coming in to seek help for that per se. They would come in for, you know, some other reason like prediabetes or high cholesterol, and they would assume that they just had to live with these ongoing GI symptoms. But as time's gone on, and in at least my local area, doctors locally are more aware of some of the new dietary treatments for IBS. I'm starting to see more patients coming to me directly for help with that.
I see. Well, certainly something that if you are suffering from it, you can find out a lot more. You can find Patsy Katz. This is her second edition of her 2008 bestseller, IBS, Free at Last. I'm guessing folks can find that online, all the major book outlets.
Yes, that's right.
All right, Patsy, thank you so much for joining us here on WILS this evening.
I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Excellent. We'll be right back. I'm Michael Cohen. This is 1320 WILS.